Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow on the show, Dan Durkin is going to join me. I can't wait for his film breakdown of the Bears tomorrow. I can't wait for it because Dan does it with no malice and no hyperbole. And I can't wait for his deadpan sensibilities to tell me what I saw in the Bears game on Monday. Mike D'Attelier, who works at WWL down in New Orleans, NOLA itself, we're going to talk with him about the Saints, and our buddy Jason Leisure is going to start his weekly conversations with us. The afternoon show today is helmed by Danny Parkins and Cody Decker. They join me now. Hello, men.
What's up, Lawrence? What's up, Deck?
Oh, you know, I'm sitting here living this wonderful 2020 Twilight Zone version of the dream, and I'm looking at your beautiful faces.
Oof, I'm sorry. If this is your dream, you need to aim higher, my friend.
We're really sorry about all of that.
Wow. I feel so lucky. Like, I get a former big leaguer to co-host the show today after one of the weirdest, if not the single weirdest, baseball viewing experiences of my life. Like, there have been crazier games. I was at the Royals wild card game against the A's when they beat up John Lester and Yordano Ventura came in out of the bullpen. That maybe was the craziest game I've ever seen. Obviously, Game 7 of the Cubs in 2016. But it's kind of rare that you get to watch a title be crowned and at the same time be thinking, this might kill people. Like, that was a weird thing that we watched last night.
Everything about this was insane. Not to mention that. You mentioned weird games. There was a weirder game 3 nights ago in game four. And that insane ending of a game. And here we are talking about actual real consequences to our actions today.
God. It was
Cody, what'd you think of the Blake Snell move?
Yes.
The single worst decision I've ever seen in a game ever in my lifetime in the World Series. I'm blown away. I'm assuming either Cash was drunk or simply, like, he is so sabermetriced out of his mind that it's the only thing I can come up with. I mean, he had to go into that knowing full well, Blake Snell, no matter what, no hitter in the sixth, great, pulling him.
That was my question. Is there a scenario? Like, if he had a perfect game, right? I think sometimes, like, if you take, like, a logic course, they're like, take it to its furthest, most extreme conclusion. Because everyone's like, oh, they don't let him go three times through the order, but they did in games one and two. The starters got to see at least a batter or two three times through the order. But so if he had a perfect game, would he have pulled him? And I think we all agree that the answer is no. So then there should be some gray area there. And when the nine hitter gets a single and the top three hitters are 0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts and he's at 72 or 73 pitches and the dude you're bringing in, the splits say Betts would crush him, and he'd given up, a run in 6 straight appearances? It was weird, man, and so many people were defending it because it was like, that's what got him there. But don't you have to play the game in front of you? It felt very blindly loyal to a process instead of what was happening right on the field.
Let's slow down. Everyone, Eli Herskowitz was the only one I know of that was defending this absolutely absurd decision. Let's be real clear here. Mookie Betts historically is not bad against left-handed hitter,
sure,
pitchers.
He's not bad
but
against
this
anybody.
Year, yeah, this year, however, his splits were quite extraordinarily different. And yeah, Blake Snell, who already K'd him twice in the game, Blake Snell, who has not pitched past the sixth inning over a year. July of 2019 was the last time he did it, and now I'm starting to realize why. Because I've been all over the country. I'm very, very rarely in Tampa, and I've not watched enough Blake Snell games. But to see him being pulled in a game where he's got 73 pitches against a team he is absolutely dominating in a one-run game. This is the defending Cy Young Award winner. What the hell are we doing?
What I keep going back to is a couple things. One, the next three batters that he was going to face, he had struck out twice.
Yep.
And two, if it's a game where you know that this is it for your season, like if you know, like, I'm not going to pitch if there is a tomorrow, and I'm going to pitch like there isn't a tomorrow, I feel like that should factor in to the decision-making. Because now you have a guy that, while they might be 94-95 on the gun late in the game because they're getting ready for their next start, they have to worry about their next start, now you have a guy that might have an extra mile per hour on a fastball or more rotation on their slider because they don't have to worry about the next game. And I feel like Kevin Cash didn't put that into context along with the data. And that's where you have to marry the objective and the subjective. To me, that was a moment where you take the data, you look at what's happening in front of you, you look at the fact that Blake Snell's not going to pitch again, and you say, can you get me through six? Can you go get me these two batters? And if you run into a situation, to me, getting one runner on is not a situation enough to have gone out there and pulled them, considering that the Dodgers had gotten looks at your reliever. It wasn't even a situation where they hadn't seen that guy and you're bringing in a power arm that they haven't seen. There was actual relief that you could see on the faces of the Dodgers in the dugout when they saw that Blake Snell was leaving the mound.
It's funny you even say that because Mookie Betts actually was quoted after the game. He actually said Snell was dealing. Once he came out, it was like everyone could breathe again. And that's the best player in the National League by far telling you that, yeah, he had our number, and when he pulled him out, we were all happy. Listen, you mentioned the numbers and the metrics. The Rays are not special in this. The Rays have the same numbers that every other team has. If you are going to do everything by the numbers, then what is the point of having a manager? It's a title only. If it's completely ran by front offices, mid-game, bullpen decisions, everything, then quite frankly, show me the numbers that says Kirk Gibson should be having it at bat in the 88 World Series with two blown knees against Dennis Eckersley. There is not a single number that will ever justify the decision, but it's the greatest moment in baseball history. And quite frankly, yesterday, we had an opportunity to see another great moment in baseball history for Blake Snell that was literally not only robbed from him, but robbed from all of us as fans.
Well, that's the thing. It's just, I think Sahadev Sharma said on Twitter, he was like, it was just a lame decision. Like, it's a very tough thing to defend when you're talking about guys competing at the highest level of sports. Like, this is your Cy Young winner. A single by the nine hitter is not a situation where he's so in trouble. And listen, I'm not anti-analytics. Like, you don't have people like A-Rod, like, this was a loss for the analytics community. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, the Dodgers use numbers. The Rays use numbers. Like you said, every team in baseball uses numbers. It's just, if it is going to be blind, then you're taking the human element out of the sport. And they also had guys on the Rays, right? It was Kevin Kiermaier, after the game. He was like, yeah, I don't care. That was the best he's looked all year. You can't pull him. So, like, if the other team wants you to do something strategically, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And if your own team doesn't want you to be doing something, then you've got a real problem. You should be evaluating your process.
My wife is a diehard Rays fan. She kicked me out of the living room four times yesterday during the game, which is pretty fascinating because I wasn't really making any noise.
She just didn't want you there.
You were messing up the vibe.
Yeah, no, it was all my fault that Kevin Cash pulled out Blake Snell, and then I said, what is he doing? She said, get out. I'm like, you know this was the wrong decision. And it's not even kind of the wrong decision. I was blown away that this was happening. And you think I was blown away? The look on Blake Snell's face. That's the second time this World Series Blake Snell has been pulled out of a game with a profanity-laced tirade, and he's not wrong either time. The both teams' bullpens, forget the World Series. This October, everyone's bullpen is taxed. Absolutely taxed. And you got a former Cy Young Award winner right there on your mound, giving you a potential eight-inning gem, and he's got enough pitches to allot for that amount of time. How does this happen? I'm sitting here. I was throwing furniture around my living room. I couldn't believe what was happening, and I was mad because I was going to be robbed of a Game 7.
Well, that's why she asked you to leave the living room. You were destroying it. You should be throwing furniture. Yeah, that's a good reason to kick you out of the living room.
We have plastic chairs. She'll be fine.
Okay, good. Classy. Keep it classy. Play devil's advocate. Is there another side to the argument? Because after the game, Kevin Cash is like, I thought it was – obviously I don't like the decision because of the result, but process-wise, he still felt like he made the right one. You've been in those clubhouses. You've had those conversations. You've watched more baseball and experienced more baseball than us. Is there another side to the equation?
I mean, if you're just a completely metrically minded guy and you just have your hard lines on all of this, but it's not like Kevin Cash hasn't been around the baseball industry for the past 40 years. He knows how to use his eyes. He can see that his pitcher is clearly dominating the best offense probably in baseball of the last 20 years. And I really honestly think it might be. It really gives those early mid-2000s Yankees a serious run for its money. I'm sorry, late 90s Yankees a run for its money.
There was a stat in Jeff Passan's column today that's because they won by an average of 2.1 runs per game. That hadn't happened since the 1939 Yankees. Now, obviously, it's a 60-game season, so who knows if they would have kept up that pace. But in terms of a team winning by more than 2 runs per game, it hadn't happened in like 70 years.
And so, keep in mind,
that's not hyperbole.
And keep in mind, they've been doing it all throughout the playoffs, too. And the first half of the playoffs, they completely sleptwalked through. I mean, they faced the Brewers, who had no business being there. They faced the Padres, who unfortunately limped in. We got robbed of a really good series right there because the Padres were going in with no arms whatsoever, and that hurt them badly. But then they got punched in the mouth with the Braves, which, quite frankly, was the best thing that could have happened to them because they got punched in the mouth a couple times by the Tampa Bay Rays.
That's the sad thing for me. That's one of the things I was talking about where – it was such a fun postseason, and they had gone 2 months pretty much without having any players test positive for COVID. That it relaxed me as a fan, and then it was right in our face at the end of it, like right in our face, like all of the everything that you that I won't speak for you guys, but everything that angered me about this season was right in front of me. At the end of that game where you have the commissioner out there bumbling around and being surprised that he's being booed. It's such a horrible way to finish off what I thought was a tremendous postseason.
This is one of the best. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, my bad, dude. I thought that I like dreamed or had like a flashback to some sort of like induced like Rob Manfred say when Kevin Burkhart said that Turner had been pulled with a positive COVID test. I honestly thought that it was a mistake, like that they had like spliced in a fake recording because it seemed so surreal. And from that moment through the entire celebration, you didn't even know what you were watching at that point.
Yep.
Who knows what? Who knew what? When is this safe? Wait. Justin Turner's kissing his wife? Like that was the thing that I couldn't get over. Like okay,
we were
fine.
All like contact tracing at that moment, Danny.
It was
like
so
that's what we were doing.
But
you're
like,
sitting
okay,
there
so,
like, wait, so, get away from them. Get away from everybody.
But so like even I can get myself to a point of he wants to take a picture with his team, with the trophy on the field. It's irresponsible. It's against the protocol. But they had been on the bus. They had been in the clubhouse. They had played the first 8 innings together. Like I can get myself to that. Kissing your wife? Like what the hell is going on in that moment? That is crazy to me.
I can almost, like you just said, I can do some serious mental gymnastics right now and almost almost justify him being out there for the photo, even being out there without a mask, which I am staunchly against all of this. But I'm going to do some mental gymnastics and play devil's advocate here and say, yeah, he's been around those players all day. He's been in the dugout with them, in the clubhouse, like you said, in the bus. He's been around. So if they're going to get it from him, they already got it. That being said, like you said, kissing his wife. And remember, it wasn't just Dodgers on that field. It was families. It was personnel. There were hundreds of people on that field post game, and front and center holding the trophy is Justin Turner. And you got to really, really hand it to 2020 when it's possible that the actual commissioner's trophy itself is a super spreader object now.
Right. That piece of metal. That piece of metal that Rob Manfred loves so much. Boys, what are you going to do on the show today?
Man, a lot of this, there's so many angles from it, and I honestly don't think you can have a better baseball lineup than we have with Cody Decker in. 4 o'clock, someone who was on the field, John Morosi, will be joining us to tell us what the hell that was like. Mr. Baseball at this radio station, we had to get his reaction to everything. Matt Spiegel will join us at 425. And then
good vibes,
Cody Decker.
Babe.
Yeah, good vibes. He will be spreading them, babe. And then Cody Decker booked his old friend Lucas Giolito, who's going to join us at 5 o'clock. So I think there's some things to talk to him about since the White Sox season has ended and his reaction to the World Series game last night and the reports that are out there about White Sox managerial searches going forward. So Giolito at 5 o'clock today.
All right, boys. Have at it.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.